Well, our text this evening comes to us from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, but we'll also be reading Lord's Day 42. And Lord's Day 42 can be found on page 54. And we have one verse to read in Ephesians tonight. We're reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. People of God, this is God's very word. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And there is the reading of God's word. And now we'll jump to the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 42. There's two questions this evening, 110 and 111. And I'll read the question if you could answer or respond with the answer. So question 110 is, what does God forbid in the eighth commandment? In question 111, what does God require of you in this commandment? Amen. Well, as we make our way back into the Heidelberg Catechism, it's been a while. We find ourselves still in the gratitude section, which is the third section of catechism. And just to let you know, there isn't a section after this. It's just gratitude. I think you guys might be thinking, yes, we're almost done. We got a ways to go. We're still through the Ten Commandments, and we finished seven of the ten. So we have three commandments left to do. And after that, we end the catechism with the Lord's Prayer. And maybe some of our youth, and even maybe some of our adults this evening, ask the question of why do we read the law in the morning service and look at our sin, and yet in the evening service we look at the law in gratitude and in thankfulness? And that's a good question to have. In the morning service, we look at the law, as we said this morning, as a measuring stick of God's holiness. God calls all to holiness. But those in the church and those outside the church, yeah, God calls to holiness. Sorry about that. He uses the law, the Ten Commandments, as the standard of that holiness. The point being that we will look at ourselves in the mirror of the law and we would realize that we could never do the law. And we looked at Christ, who did complete the law perfectly. That's the morning service. That's the law of the first use of the law that we do in the morning. By faith, we're covered in righteousness that Christ earned by keeping the law. But now in the evening service, we look at the law a little different. We look at the law to remind us that the law is given to believers as a rule of thankfulness. Christ completed it. And now we want to do the law out of gratitude. When you read the Psalms and you read David exclaim, I love the law, O God. And if you looked at it from the first sense of the law, you're thinking, oh boy, why does he love the law? The law brings death. But David's looking at it in the third use, and he's looking at it with gratitude. He understands that God gives forgiveness, and he can look forward to one day that the Messiah will complete the law. How would the Lord have us live this side of glory as those who've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, to do the law out of gratitude. So when we hear the Ten Commandments, we don't think in the morning service, when we get shown them for our sin, it points us to Jesus. But this evening, we want to see the law and think, I do this because I love the Lord. I don't steal because I love the Lord and my neighbor. We love the law of God, and we still do the law of God the best we can. Not to earn salvation, but to give thankfulness. And now we've reached the eighth commandment. And we find this in Exodus 20, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. And you're thinking, I got this one. I don't steal. I don't take candy bars at the store. All those things that bad kids do, no. But we do steal, don't we? And tonight the Lord starts off, or the Heidelberg Catechism, excuse me, has it, what does God forbid? First with the eighth commandment, but then he wants us to know what's required of us with the eighth commandment. And if we think about what we've learned from the other commandments in the second table of the law, those dealing with our neighbor, how we treat our neighbor, God has made it clear in his word that these laws are more than just what we read on the outside. We understand when Jesus taught these, he always pointed in to our hearts and how we read them there. Really, when you hear these commandments, we need to look inside at our hearts. How are we to understand these? How are we to look at these out of gratitude? And a lot of what we will talk about this evening, since we're talking about stealing and theft and robbery, well, tonight we're going to talk about our money. That's a touchy subject for some. But that's not all this commandment points to, is it? Money. It points to a lot of other things. One commentator said, money in itself is neither good nor bad, but it is very dangerous, and that the love of it can become very bad. He also says this, with money a man can do much good, and with money man can do much evil. With money man can selfishly serve his own desires. And with money, man can generously answer the cry of his neighbor's need. So it's important for us to think about this and be reminded of what God's will is regarding our money and our possessions. To start with, I think there's a fundamental truth that's important even before we get to the questions in the catechism tonight. There's a fundamental truth we have to look at. And I think if once we understand this fundamental truth, it's going to open up the eighth commandment for us. And if we start there, we can be thankful for thou shalt not steal. We can show gratitude when we don't steal. What do you think this fundamental truth is? Everything's already God's, isn't it? The fundamental truth is it's not ours to begin with. It's all God's. God is the owner of all things. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, Scripture tells us. He owns the land you live on. He owns the house you live in. It may say your name on the deed, but God has given it to you as a gift. Right? He owns the car you drive. He owns the clothes that you're wearing right now. Now, this one might sting a little bit. God owns your wallet. He owns your bank accounts. God is the ultimate owner of all things. And I think we all can agree on this. You've heard this before. And even though we may have heard this before, this one's kind of hard to swallow, isn't it? To the Christian, God should have final say in what we do with all of our things. Because one day we're going to have to give an account of what we've done with his things and must render to God what is his. And for some of us, that might be a scary thought. How have we been doing with God's things? Another way of looking at this is that we are stewards of God's things. We've heard this before as well. If you have ever read The Lord of the Rings or watched the movies, right? You remember that the kingdom of Gondor has no king. They have stewards, and stewards watch over the kingdom until the return of the king. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Right? Where's our king? He's ruling in heaven. We're stewards of his kingdom until he returns. Right? We are stewards of this kingdom. We don't own this kingdom. This kingdom is God's. God has given us a certain amount of wealth, a certain amount of things that are his, but he's given us these things while we live on this side of glory. This is why we speak about stewardship and being good stewards. This is why we try to teach our kids these things. Not to be wasteful, to think about what they're spending their money on. This is what we're talking about here. When we say, thou shalt not steal. God is the one who gives us everything. We also need to remember that he doesn't give it out equally. He gives to one a lot, but he gives to another one a little. In a fallen world, some have earned a lot by doing bad things, while others have worked their whole life and have nothing to show. But in the end, all will be held accountable for what they have done with what God has given them. I want us to think of the parable of the talents this evening. He gives... You all remember the parable of talents. He gives five talents to one, then he gives two talents to the next, and then finally he gives one talent to the last guy. And these aren't talents of like playing guitar or singing. These talents are money. Right? And the one with five, when the owner shows back up, look, I've made five more. And the one with two, look, I've made all these other ones. It's two more. He has four. But the one with one, what's he do? Do you remember? And he buries it in the ground. He did nothing with it. What's the owner do with him? And God wasn't happy with him. Do we just take what God's given us and hide it in a hole? What are we doing with what God has given us? Look at question 111 with me. What does God require of you in this commandment? That I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good. That I treat him as I would like others to treat me. And that I work faithfully so that I may share with those in need. How many of us think about it that way? You know, we work hard to feed our families, and that's a good thing. We work hard to have nice things, and that's an okay thing. But do we work faithfully so that we may share with those in need? See, now, when you hide what God has given you and do nothing to help your neighbor, beloved, that is stealing from God. And we're commanded, thou shalt not steal. See, if we understand that ultimately that it's all God, it should make it easier to understand where the catechism is going. When we come to the Eighth Commandment and the Heidelberg Catechism asks, what does God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? It starts by telling us the obvious, right? He forbids outright theft and robbery, punishable by the law. Well, it used to be punishable by the law, right? I don't want to go too far down this road either. But it only does more harm when we let crime go unpunished, especially in our world today. God has given the government for the sword for a reason. But it's obvious when he says, he forbids not only outright theft and robbery. Now, those are obvious things. We understand that. We know that. But now the catechism goes further. Let's continue with answer 110. But in God's sight, theft also includes cheating and swindling our neighbor by schemes made to appear legitimate, such as inaccurate measurements of weight, size, and volume, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or any other means forbidden by God. In addition, God forbids all greed and pointless squandering of his gifts. Thou shalt not steal sounds different now. Cheating and swindling. What the catechism is doing is it's pointing back to here, isn't it? Because we really know if we're going to cheat our neighbor, it's not coming from the outside, it's coming from our hearts, isn't it? Right? Coming from our fallen human hearts. And really, this thing that's coming out of this lesson, Lord's Day 42, has to do a lot with greed, doesn't it? Like it says, God forbids all greed. Now, I want us to think about this. When you read this list of all these things that are forbidden, and you remember, wait a second, this wasn't written today. This was written in the 1500s. Like, you think people are cheating today? People have been this way since the fall, haven't they? People are always trying to get one up on their neighbor. The scary thing is that God had to tell his own people in the law, don't do these things. Why would he have to tell them that? Because of our fallen human heart. Even God's own people will fall into these traps. Will fall into greed. See, the human heart just wants more, doesn't it? And it will do whatever it can to get more. That's greed. Greed comes from the idea that you deserve more. When I think about this, where does this ultimately come from? Well, it comes from the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Remember what happened in the garden? Has God said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? You won't surely die. For God knows that in the day of you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What's the serpent saying here? You can have it all. Not only can you have the world, but you can be like God. Right? Everything you've ever dreamed of, and you can see this degree. Yes, I want more. I want more. You deserve this. Today, you can hear this all the time, can't you? You deserve it. How many times when you watch television, how many ads say that? You deserve this. You should go get this. It's yours. You deserve it. That's greed, beloved. It's greed. And this idea is so powerful that even certain churches use this to try to bring people to hear the gospel. And to bring people into Christ, they use greed. Come to Jesus. He'll make you rich. Come to Jesus. He'll take away all your problems. He'll give you anything you want. See, these churches are exploiting the greed of our heart. The health and wealth gospel is alive and well. Even today. Coming to Jesus will not make you rich in this world. But boy, we're going to be rich in the next world. So you know Scripture. In Scripture, you can find three ways to earn financial security. And stealing isn't one of them. I was looking at a commentary this week, and these are the three ways that we can earn as Christians and people that follow God financial security. And I looked at those words, financial security, and I didn't like them, but I couldn't think of any other way of saying it. So I'll just use the commentary's words, financial security. The first one is this, through work. You're like, wait, okay, yeah. Our labor, having employment, this kind of seems obvious how we're going to earn financial security. The second one was, though, was receiving an inheritance. In Scripture, people, they have financial security because they're going to receive an inheritance. And the last way in Scripture to earn financial security was by way of investment. These are three ways you can find in Scripture for financial security. Now, when you have these things laid out, and then you look at what the Eighth Commandment forbids, the last thing in answer 110 had me thinking. Pointless squandering of his gifts. Pointless squandering. What is that? I thought about it for a while. I think, pointless squandering. Is that idleness? Is that laziness? And I thought of the Old Testament word slothfulness. And that takes us to our text this evening from Ephesians. Remember what Ephesians 4:28 says. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working, remember, financial security, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who's in need. So if you're not working, you're going to need money from somewhere, so you're going to steal. You'll end up stealing. Those who cut corners in their jobs, that's stealing. Those who don't provide their employer what they agreed upon, that's stealing. Those who don't use their talents but bury them or waste them, which sounds a lot like laziness, isn't it? You know, God has given us minds and we're called to count the cost of things, to plan and plan ahead. And when we don't, that's laziness. That's pointless squandering of what he has. If we take everything that we have and we just leave it there and don't think about it, what are you doing with God's stuff? The things he's given you. We should take seriously what God has entrusted to us. It is his, and we're his stewards. What's going to happen to God's stuff when we're gone? Are we using it for today? Are we thinking about our future? We're thinking about our kids' future. Going back to question 111, what does God require of you in this commandment? That I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good. Remember what we talked about, who's our closest neighbor, when we looked at honor your father and your mother? Those in your house. That I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good. And treat him as I would like to treat others to treat me. See, it starts in, and then it moves out, and then it moves out. That I work faithfully so that I may share with those in need. I treat others like I would want them to treat me. We've heard that before, haven't we? Where have we heard that before? Listen to this. Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, you'll give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You see why I read the beginning of that, of the golden rule? Because it's all connected. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also for them. I should want to treat my neighbor how I want him to treat me. Nobody wants anybody to steal from us. So we shouldn't steal from our neighbor. We shouldn't try to cheat our neighbor. Now, I don't want us to miss this. Going back to our text in Ephesians chapter 4. Let him who stole steal no longer. See, that's the bad thing. That's what we ought not to do. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. Now, what That's what we should be doing, working with our hands. But why? That we may have something to give to him who's in need. If all of this is God's in the first place, why should we not want to give to those who are in need? It's God's. How many times in Scripture have we read or heard God tells his people to help the cause of the poor? It's all over the place. To help the needy, to help widows, to help orphans, those who are destitute. He literally puts it in his law. You remember what his law does? His law shows his character. See, those who turn a blind eye to the cause of the poor, to the cause of the needy, those who neglect the needs of the world, are stealing from God. This brings us full circle tonight, doesn't it? Everything that we have, everything that we own is God's. He's given us everything. And we're called to be good stewards of what he's given us. The human tendency is to be greedy and say, no, it's mine. I'm going to hide it in the hole. Beloved, that's stealing. We shouldn't do it. We need to do the opposite. We're called to look to others in their need and to help them. Where does this ultimately point back to? Well, God helped us in our need, didn't he? Not our need financially, but our need spiritually. Right? And it all goes back to the gospel. We were in need of the most precious thing of all, salvation. And instead of God laughing at us and pointing his finger at us, saying, oh, you guys are so poor, he sent his son. He gave his most precious thing. And today he freely gives salvation to all. So if he could give his son, we can give to our neighbor. And that's what we're learning from the eighth commandment this evening. What does God require of us in this commandment? That I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, you know, when we start thinking about money and we start thinking about our goods, Lord, sometimes it kind of like makes us uncomfortable. It makes us feel weird. We put a lot of time and effort into earning this money. We put a lot of time and effort into earning what we have. But throughout your word, everywhere you look, your word tells us to help those in need. And then when we get to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul literally tells us to work so we have something to give out, to give away, to give to the needy. Lord, in reality, we know this is all yours, but help us to understand that you're going to use us to help the poor, to help the needy, to help the widow, to help the orphan. And if we don't, Lord, remind us that we're stealing from you. That we want to give these things out of gratitude. We want to help those in need out of gratitude for what you've done for us by giving us your son. Lord, help us to remember that when we think of thou shalt not steal out of gratitude. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.